In that massive coronavirus relief package, there is much needed money for transportation. Airports and Amtrak will get an infusion of cash, and about $30 billion will go to transit agencies, many staring down huge deficits 1 year now into the pandemic. Here and now, transportation analyst Seth Kaplan joins us now. Hi, Seth.
Hi, Peter.
And why don't we start with public transit, trains, buses, subways? Where's all the money going?
Well, you said it, trains, buses, subways, but more specifically of that $30 billion, about $26 billion to those urban transportation systems. So we're talking about $6 billion for New York subway, for example, $1.5 billion for the metro system in Washington, rail there as well as buses, smaller amounts for rural systems. But yeah, this is definitely a bill that, you know, now that you have Democrats in charge of the House, the Senate, and the White House, able to direct some of those resources to places where the public transportation advocates wanted it in the first place.
Well, and it's needed. The American Public Transportation Association estimates that the industry is going to face an almost $40 billion budget shortfall through 2023. So is all that money enough to solve their problems?
Well, I mean, the simple math tells you, we said $30 billion being infused and, as you said, $40 billion shortfall. So this doesn't completely close the gap. These are largely fixed cost systems. And a fixed cost business is one where even when it does a lot less business, the costs kind of continue anyway, right? It costs almost as much to run a subway, whether or not there's anybody on board. But of course, when there's nobody on board, you're not getting the revenue from those people. They're not buying tickets. And so that's the issue here. A lot of this is going to depend, Peter, on just sort of the trajectory of, you know, how quickly ridership recovers. Because if not, you have systems, again, with a lot of those costs baked in, even though they aren't getting the revenue. But they won't fill all the gaps, but they got a lot of what they wanted this time, more than they did in the first stimulus bills.
Yeah. Another struggling agency or company, Amtrak, had to furlough more than 1,200 workers and cut some of its routes as well. But it's going to get nearly $2 billion as a part of the package. Do you think that will be enough to hire back the workers that lost their jobs and get those routes back into service?
Yeah, so Amtrak, another entity that has gotten more of what it wanted. In fact, it ended up getting a couple hundred million more than it thought in the first place. And yeah, this is a situation where Amtrak now is going to sort of have some, well, you might almost say more strings attached to aid, where it's getting all this money. But part of the idea is that those furloughed workers would be able to come back on as it restores, for example, some of the long haul service routes that were down to just 3 days a week, being able to bring them back up to daily service throughout the country. About half the aid will go to the Northeast Corridor, those busy routes between places like Boston, New York, and Washington, and with the other half spread around the country.
And how about air travel, Seth? Because for the third time now, airlines are going to get help paying their employees to avoid furloughs. What else is in store for them here?
Right. So about $15 billion now extended for basically another half year, where airlines are getting all of this money, but the string attached there is that they have to keep a lot of people employed. It means the airlines are probably a little bit bigger than they would be if they weren't getting that money, right? If they were only responding to sort of that much lower level of demand for air travel that exists right now, but able to keep those people on the payrolls. Airports as well, Peter. $8 billion in their case. And with them, it's kind of like what I said about those public transportation systems. You know, you build a big airport and the costs are all baked in. And then when the airlines aren't flying there, the airports aren't collecting the same fees and taxes that they usually would. So airports really, in some ways, with even less flexibility than airlines to reduce their costs. And so they're glad to be getting that amount of funding.
Seth, for the past year, you've been coming on the show talking about how tough it has been for airlines. They really, really want to get more people in the air, especially as vaccinations pick up. And, you know, we saw this week the CDC still telling Americans to avoid non-essential travel, even if they've been fully vaccinated. So just wonder how the airlines are responding to that from the CDC.
They continue walking this delicate line that they've been walking, as you said, Peter, for about a year, right? Where up until a year ago, for most of the history of aviation, airlines have encouraged people to travel. But then that became unseemly, and they've sort of had this mixed messaging of, hey, it's up to you whether or not to travel, but when you do, we'll make it as safe as possible. And that basically here is continuing. One thing airlines are saying is that if there's some sort of a vaccine passport, let's say, which some advocates have been calling for, they just want it to be something standardized, universal, something national, led by the U.S. national government if it's going to be global, rather than states kind of doing their own thing. They see that as something that would be disruptive as they look forward to hopefully people being able to finally follow, hey, who knows, new CDC guidelines saying that you can begin traveling again more safely.
We'll see. We're all hoping for that. Here and now, transportation analyst Seth Kaplan. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter.